Okay. We are in Philippians chapter 3. I was thinking 16, probably 17. That's where the break is. Okay, we'll read. Who would like to read chapter 3, verses 16 to the end of the chapter? All right, go ahead, Kay. Thank you, King. All right, so this is to finish up Paul's theme of the chapter, which I think is a continuation of chapter 2, being imitators of Christ. So chapter 2, if you remember, we had that poem that talked about following Christ or following Christ's example. And so here, we see in verse 17, he says, join in imitating me and keeping your eyes closed on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So, Paul is very well aware of his shortcomings. He knows exactly what kind of Christian he is. So, when he says this, join in imitating me, it seems a little proud, but I think it's mostly spoken from humility. I don't think it's meant to be proud at all. And so Paul is saying, yes, I know I'm not perfect. And he kind of talks about that earlier in the chapter. He says he has reason to boast, but he doesn't because he doesn't think those are the important things. But here he says that I try to just follow Christ. And so when I want you to join in imitating me, I'm not asking you to follow me. Such as the follow that he talks about in Corinthians, where he says some of you claim to follow me, some of you claim to follow Peter, others of you claim to follow Christ. He's like, I'm not asking you to follow me, I'm asking you to follow the example that I have, and that example is not even mine. That example is Christ. Paul's probably one of my favorite characters in the Bible, just because he's. I think I identify with Paul the most. I'm a little blunt. I don't beat around the bush. I say kind of what's on my mind. But like Paul, I think that kind of thing can get me into trouble. And it has gotten me into trouble. But it's not really sometimes we say things that don't really come across the way, so when, the right way. So when I read this particular passage, this was the kind of thing I was thinking, you know, I think if I said that here, someone would come up to me and they would say, why should I follow you? Yeah, who do you think you are? And I don't think that's what Paul is saying. I think Paul is saying that I'm trying to set a good example, just like you should be trying to set a good example. And Mike, and who's his good example? Christ. Yeah, easy question. So it's not that you're following me, you're just also following an example, and as a leader, I am leading by example. So, yes. No. And I think that's important, is you may not get it right the first time. In fact, depending on what it is, you might not even get it right the 200th time. I heard something, I don't know if this is true, but I heard it took Edison 2,000 tries to make the light bulb. And so, whether or not it's true, the point stands, is if he had given up after the first or second try, do you think we would have the light bulb today? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. It's hard to tell. But we certainly would have, if we didn't have it, if we would have had it today, we probably wouldn't have it as soon as we had it, which means the improvements we have on it probably definitely would not be in effect. That's kind of like what it's like in your walk, is whether or not you get it right now is irrelevant as long as you keep trying. The sooner you get it, the longer you have to improve, sure. Does anybody have any good examples of this? Like personal examples that they like to share? No one likes it. Go ahead.
I kind of talk like a sailor when I'm by myself. And so my biggest goal right now is just to like watch my language and stop listening. And I still screw up every single day, so that's the thing. But I'm still like working on it every day, even when I mess up all the time.
Okay. Go ahead, Mark.
Mm-hmm. And Paul is talking about people kind of to stay away from. Basically, he's saying be selective as to what you're around. And so, I think that language, I think we can get it without even realizing it. Because we're around my brothers, cousins. I'm like, James, I mean, how much easier would it have been to leave all the work? But he had to have it. And after listening to him for who knows how long, you know, it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So when he says here, join in following my example and know those who so long. So we ought to be around people that don't know. That was all.
She's a really good girl. She's very responsible. She's a very responsible. And she would understand. You know, and I wish there was a way I could say it, you know, a lot can maybe say something like, you know, you're so sweet and I just really appreciate that stuff. But, you know, sometimes it comes out of your mouth just the way things do your soul, your heart, you know. And I don't quite have an approach yet without offending them and driving them away. So I'm just kind of like a little darker.
Sure. I'll think about it. Go ahead, Sam.
Or definitely, he chose not to be a cop. But, I mean, his word is it's almost a cold pitch.
Some of that is just hindsight, though. And others is you don't realize it yourself. When I came back from Iraq, I didn't know I was swearing. Until I was at a Christian college and someone says, you really can't do that here. And this was like a few weeks in. And I'm like, why is someone just telling? And I had no clue I was even doing it. And that was just because I had been part of that culture. And I didn't expect that going into that culture. I mean, I knew, you know, there's a possibility going in that I might die. But other that I would be a different person. Okay. And so I had to shun myself out of that, but it wasn't like I knew that going in. And that's not an excuse. It's just something I think people need to be aware of. But there are other things, like part of it is you do make that subconscious choice to do it. At some point when I was younger, I made the subconscious choice to bite my nails. I don't bite my nails anymore, but I didn't stop till I was 27. And I still have this subconscious desire where I feel like I'm going to put my finger in my mouth to chew down my nail. Are you picking on Donna or is she picking on you? Not even something that bad. It's just it's not a good habit, and so it's something I wanted to stop doing. And then every time I clip my nails, I think this would just be so much easier if I could bite them off, especially my left hand. Have your hand up. Okay.
So, I mean, I need
Esther.
So, I like your analogy with the biting the nails because you, at one point, you made a conscious effort, I mean, a conscious decision to let those words come out of your mouth. Okay? Well, you got to make the conscious decision to not let them out of your mouth. And
No.
But I did. And it taught us all a very good lesson that you're in charge of what you say. And you got to choose to be kind and to be wise, to be helpful and healing and encouraging with your word. Because cursing every other word, because saying unkind things, it's so easy to do, but it's harder not to. Why is it harder to be loving with our words than it is to be demeaning?
Well, let me ask you a question, Casey. Do you remember why you started cursing? So, I'm guessing this is an older sister?
Yeah.
All right, so, and I'm guessing you were probably did it because you thought she approved of it, or you thought she thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I would have guessed a friend, but... But sometimes we get into things because we think they're cool. And this is called cognitive dissonance. Where you take something good and you associate it with something maybe not as good or even better, and it kind of elevates that the lower thing. So in this case, you have maybe some, you have probably heard at some point that cursing was wrong, but then when you hear something, you hold your sister to this very high standard that you hold. So she elevates cursing in your mind to being a better than it is thing. And so that's one of the reasons it's so hard to overcome issues like this, is you get into them probably not for a negative reason, but for what you see as a positive reason. And so you have to, even though you can see the harmful effects, you still have to overcome your own bias. There's some of my dissertation for you guys, if you're interested where all that came from. So, you have to overcome your own prejudices, which are not easy to do. Rachel and I have had quite a few discussions on whether or not euphemisms for cuss words are even okay. Because I think the same meaning is implied. Mm-hmm. John's next.
With what you said, military guys, few of us in here, that is a not a good culture to be around, not pick up a lot of the bad habits. That's the majority.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity in the military is a minority, so to speak. Now, encouragement for everybody that's trying and is working on their deficits, if you will. Go back to your Thomas Edison. 2,000 tries to make the light bulb. As long as you're progressing, progressing on getting better, and it may be a very slow progression on stopping habits that you have, things that you do that are not, as Paul says here in following my example, which is Christ's example. Keep at it and keep getting better at it. Eventually, it will happen. That's what Thomas says. 1,000 tries to make a light bulb. I don't know that I would have tried 1,000 tries to make a light bulb. Probably maybe 10 and then just give up. I don't know. But keep working at it. Keep trying at it. And then look to those who maybe or may have dealt with similar situations.
Yeah. Self-improvement is not going to take place overnight. In fact, even years down the line, you're still likely to mess up. I'm sure even, let's say that you've been working on your issue for a long time. I'm sure at some point, even after you've stopped for the most part, something's going to happen and you're going to say a word. You know how I know? Because it still happens to me. I don't think any of you have ever heard me say one of those bad four-letter words, but I know there have been points. How long have I been home? I've been home for 14 years now. I know there have been many points in those 14 years that I've accidentally said one when I did not mean to. Or I know that there's been times where I bit my nail. Now, none of these are salvation issues. I highly doubt that Christ is going to turn his back from you because you said one of those terrible four-letter words. But the whole point is that there is forgiveness in those. And the point that you are actively trying to change your life to be that Christian example, and not as, what's the phrase he uses, enemies of the cross of Christ. Does anybody else have anything else they'd like to add to this? We've only got a few more minutes, so I don't want to go on. Go ahead, Buckley. Wait, I only have a few minutes, Buckley.
I think we're dealing with exterior things like a headache. We take an aspirin for it, and we don't look at the real cause of the headache. The language, the biting of nails, whatever it is not the problem. It's an emotional problem, maybe anger or the way you look at yourself, whatever it is, that's where we need to deal with the problem. True, self-control comes into it, but it's a lot easier to deal with the problem. That's all.
Some of it, I think, is just human nature, but that in itself is a problem, because we're to deny our human nature to follow Christ's example. Go ahead, George. I don't think you're the only one, Troy. Go ahead, Sam.
I agree that involved times to be trying to solve too. But I think self-control is very, very important, especially for a Christian. And there's a lot of things that are out of your control. So, in life, death, just be able to solve that word, home, personal, life, whatever.
Yeah, so that's a very good point, George. You can't control that someone cuts you off, but you can control your action to. Yeah.
Because it was quadrant. Okay. I don't know what I'm watching. Every day. Oh, this cop did this, or this person did this. And there's a message. Whatever it is.
Okay. Tom. We'll close with Tom.
I'll share a story that comes from personal. Is that I used to cuss when I was in the military, and it was part of it. But later, as I grew up in my career, I decided not to cuss anymore. And people would actually, when they would cuss, they'd say, "Oh, sorry." And so that sometimes can be a change in behavior that you can help others as well. Do I mess up and still cuss? You bet. You know, but not as much as I used to, and I still have people, but when they're around me, they'll try to make sure that they don't cuss. So it can be a change in behavior.
Oh, so Kay, do you know how like I've gotten my brother to stop cussing? I make sure whenever my kids are around, and that's why when he says, "Oh, sorry, I shouldn't say this in front of your kids." I'm like, if you can't say it in front of kids, you probably shouldn't be saying it at all. All right, well, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you.